from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this second day of June, Friday, 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is still the voice of the Christian resistance after all these years. No, we have tonight our producer, at least for this while, is none other than that courageous Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. Good to be here on Fridays, too.
There, you're here now on Fridays. And so here live in the studio is our tech guy, Ron Hertz.
Good evening, Ritz. Everyone. Ritz, yeah. I've been called worse.
I know. I tried to say Ritz, right? Yep. But anyhow, it didn't come out. But that's his name, Ron Ritz. I know it. So you can believe him. Now, way out yonder, way out in Texarkana, none other than the renowned John McTernan.
Yes, hello, Pastor Ernie. Delighted to be on the show tonight, and may God bless all our believers, all our listeners.
We're going to do things a little different tonight, aren't we? I'm going to read the scripture, and you're going to give the Bible study, aren't you?
Yes, Pastor Ernie, yes.
All righty, so I'm going to read the scripture tonight. Let's start in Leviticus chapter 18.
No, not yet, Pastor Ernie. I have two verses to lead into that, and then you can read in Leviticus 18, all right?
All righty.
But my message is going to be America and the Ordinances of the Amorites. And what I'm going to develop, Pastor Ernie, is that the scriptures clearly show what a nation can do to bring God's judgment and wrath on it and literally obliterate the nation.
Oh, I know what they can do. I'm watching it here every day.
Exactly right, Pastor Ernie. And we're at critical mass now with the Lord, really. Do you remember we first met around 1995? Whenever you were redoing the studio and you were in like a trailer.
That? Yeah. I wasn't redoing the Salem, was redoing the studio.
Yeah. Well, and when was that? Can you put a year on that?
That was probably about, like you said, probably about 95, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had written actually two books, God's Final Warning to America and As America Has Done to Israel. And somehow on the speaking tour, I end up on the radio with you. Do you remember that?
Didn't I had thought we had met with Noah Hutchins at one of those where we both were speaking.
No, Noah Hutchins was the one that published my books.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I can't remember the name. I just can't remember the name now that was putting me on the speaking tour. Prophecy Club.
Oh, yeah. I used to, they asked me, they counted on me to find people for the Prophecy Club. And was it me that got you?
No. I came up from them to you on your radio show. But we became very good friends after that.
Yeah.
And I remember.
That's because we didn't have many other friends, so.
We were so odd that we fit together. How's that?
Yeah, that's true.
But, Pastor Ernie, what triggered this me with writing the books had to do with October 11th of 1987. That was a Sunday, and it was the largest homosexual rally in history at that time. It was up to like 500,000. It was in Washington, D.C. And that week, the following week, the stock market dropped the lowest in history for a week. Now, by this, by today, it's a small amount. But back then, it was a very large amount. And then on October 19th, 1987, the stock market crashed. The big crash was 507 points. Again, by today's standard, that's not all that high. But back then, that was the greatest in history. And I begin to notice these correlations with Supreme Court decisions, large marches, disasters would happen virtually the same, well, the same day.
What about the World Series in San Francisco?
I was just going to say that. In October of 1989 was these World Series in San Francisco. And the day before the game, it was the largest pro-abortion rally in California history. They met at, it centered at City Hall in San Francisco. And there was about 100,000 people there. And all the politicians, eventually they became senators, Boxer and the one that's there now. She's in bed.
Feinstein.
Feinstein.
And they were having a grand time because there was several Supreme Court decisions that were pro-abortion. And then that the earthquake came the very next day.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it stopped the game. Parts of that bridge fell, and it did a lot of damage in San Francisco and all. But they, City Hall, where the center of the abortion march was almost completely destroyed. It took them 10 years to rebuild it. 10 years.
So what about Katrina?
Yeah, well, Katrina had to do with, it's called...
Southern Decadence. Yeah.
Southern Decadence.
Do you remember what happened that week? We had those two. We had those two pastors that were there in New Orleans. Remember, they went to see that mayor. We tried to. We had them on the air. That mayor, what was his name? Ray. What was his?
Yeah, he eventually ended up in jail.
Yeah, well, he was a crook.
He went to prison. But what he did, when they asked him, they said they begged him, please call this off, and he blasphemed God. He blasphemed God right there. And boy, I'm going to tell you, there's some. We're going to be reading some verses that describe that very well, aren't we, tonight?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. That New Orleans was, it's called Southern Decadence.
Yeah.
And they come the Wednesday before Labor Day, and they ended that Monday. And on that, I believe it was Wednesday, that Hurricane Katrina hit. But it was so vile in on the streets of New Orleans, and I can't really say on air what was going on other than it was open, I'm going to say, fornication, and the mayor wouldn't allow the police to arrest anybody because he was afraid it would drive them out and they'd lose money. That's how decadent and bad it was there in New Orleans. We might as well mention a couple of them up front, Pastor Ernie. The big Northridge earthquake in California.
Oh, yeah.
That, there was no fault ever found, but there was two earthquakes. One was a thrust upwards, and the other was sliding back and forth. That's why it did so much damage. And Northridge at that time, I don't know what it is now, Northridge was literally the pornography capital of the world. Almost 90% of the U.S. pornography was made in Northridge, and it was like the ground couldn't take any more of the sin, Pastor Ernie. And that was the epicenter of that earthquake was Northridge, where all the pornography was made. And there was more, many more of the similarities, this correlation that I'm telling you. But we go back in the scriptures to Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. And this is about Abraham now. And he's had the call on his life by God. And God's promised them great promises. But he says that his seed is going to have to go to Egypt for 400 years. Then we get to verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. Now, this is the key. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full, not yet complete. The iniquity, this is the first use of the word iniquity in the Bible. It doesn't tell us what it is. It just says iniquity. And the Amorites, now the Amorites are kind of mysterious in history. There's all sorts of different beliefs about them, but they had an empire there at the time of Abraham. That area was under the Amorites, and they were very bad sinners, because it says the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So whatever was going on, Abraham and his seed left for 400 years. God was dealing with these people for 400 years, and then when the Jews came back in the land, they were they were going to deal with them. We go to Genesis 19:15, and this is when God's judging Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." So what brought God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah? The iniquity, the same iniquity that the Amorites were doing. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now we go to Leviticus chapter 18, Pastor Ernie, and this is where we learn about what the iniquity of the Amorites is. So would you please read verses 1 through 4?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do? And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I shall bring you, shall you not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God.
Now, the word I'm after is ordinances. And they were told specifically, the children of Israel were not to do the doings of the land of Canaan. Whither I bring you shall you not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Now, the word ordinance here means two things, like laws, statutes, but it also means customs, Pastor Ernie. It means customs, and this is very important that it includes customs. Mm-hmm. Now, when you read chapter 18, it's telling you basically how to conduct not to conduct sex within a family and within cousins and things like that. The Amorites were pagans, and anything went with the pagans, Pastor Ernie. Anything.
Like the Democrats today. Like the Democrats today.
Well, that's where we're going. Where we're going on this. And also, Pastor Ernie, when you read those verses, it protects women. It's amazing when you read it how what is not to be done with a woman. The women really had no rights under the pagans whatsoever. And God was putting order. He was putting the family back together, you know, husband and wife and children. And the pagans, it was completely wild. So when you read those verses, you'll see the whole family was out of whack. And it was just fornication everywhere and everything. We come now following it down to verse 20, Leviticus 18:20. Would you read that verse, Pastor Ernie, please?
Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
And defile there means to contaminate. Contaminate.
Right.
Now, Pastor Ernie, when I was born back in 48, about for some reason, which was never told to me, my mother and father did not get along, and my mother wanted to divorce my father. This was in New York. And at that time, the only way you could get a divorce was adultery. Adultery had to be in the, you know, in the marriage for a divorce. She left New York and went to Florida and took up residence in Florida, and you had to be recognized as a resident of Florida, you had to be there for a certain time. She ended up being there about 2 years. She got a job and everything. She came back. She divorced the divorce was in Florida with my father. That's how serious it was back in the 50s, Pastor Ernie. Divorce was the only basis for, or adultery was the only basis for divorce. Think of how it is today. Pastor Ernie, a good friend of mine, his son, his wife was, really bad in adultery. She was like a biker woman. And he, when the divorce, he wanted the kids because she was, there were drugs and everything else there. The adultery meant nothing in the court hearing, Pastor Ernie. It was shocking. It meant nothing. And since there was no arrest made in the house and all, and he couldn't prove the drugs, they let her have the kids, his two kids. That's how our society is today. I use the standard from 1950. Today, adultery in a marriage, really, that doesn't mean anything in a divorce, Pastor Ernie. You got no-fault divorces now. You following me on this?
I sure am. I deal with that every day, yeah.
Yeah. So in our culture, divorce is by statute. It's an ordinance. And by custom, it's no big deal here as far as society is concerned. And then would you read verse 21?
And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You're talking about abortion there, aren't you?
Yeah, right. Killing children.
Yeah.
Killing children in the womb, Pastor Ernie. Killing children. And then now in America, you take California and New York, they are literally pressing to let the mother decide after the baby is born for 1 month whether she wants to keep it or not.
They tried that in Virginia, too, until they got rid of that corrupt governor.
Yes, yes. So I haven't heard about that law in California and New York lately, but I know it was being pressed. They wanted to have how can you call it an abortion? They said they wanted to be able to abort the baby up to a month after it's born. That's you don't abort something that's alive. Well, outside the womb, let's put it that way. The babies are alive in the womb, of course. So the Amorites here, one of the ordinances of the Amorites, well, the first one was open fornication and adultery was just a norm in society. It was no big deal. Then they were sacrificing their children. And Moloch was a pagan god, and they would keep the image of Moloch up, and they would put the baby in that image, and it would burn to death. That was a norm, killing children, Pastor Ernie. That was an ordinance of the Amorites there. And profane means to defile, pollute. Killing babies affects God. It's a reflection on him, Pastor Ernie, when you read that verse 21. Isn't that amazing? That's how serious it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're made in God's image and likeness, and it's a direct assault on the name of the Lord, killing babies.
When they're trying to pass legislation here in Ohio now, it's called the Constitutional Abortion Amendment. And, John, it's, it would be abortion for any reason, all out, you know, no restrictions whatsoever on the killing the child, you know, even until after he's born. It's evil is against him. We're fighting that, but I'll talk more about that later. But that goes right along with what you're saying.
Okay, would you read verse 22, please, Pastor Ernie?
Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That's the first time that word is used there.
Yeah, and that means something disgusting morally.
Well, there's an old there's a Jewish definition for that. The old Hebrew definition is the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God.
Well, it's something disgusting.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now, Pastor Ernie, these ordinances that are being we're going over now, these weren't done under the law of Moses. This was done by pagans way before the law of Moses. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed before the law of Moses. The law of Moses codified what the ordinances were that you were not to do that. Mm-hmm. But societies were judged and destroyed before the law of Moses. So abomination is, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. It's called gay pride. Well, that's something we say, but to God, this is a direct attack on his institution of we are to procreate in Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply. He made us male and female. And then in chapter 2, we have the institution of marriage. This whole thing is a direct attack on God's creation. Verse 23, Pastor Ernie.
Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. That word confusion there is the same word we use for today in the English for perversion.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then 24, I want to get this because it looks like we're running out of time. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all of these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The pagans were being cast out because of the ordinances we just read. The land is defiled, therefore I do the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants.
Cretina.
There you go, and everything else. I mean, I just touched a few of them.
Verse 28, in that land spew not you out also which defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you.
Yeah. Now, in the remaining time, I want to go over to the New Testament, because the argument people make, well, that's the Old Testament under the law. That doesn't affect us today.
You've got all the time you need tonight, because, you know, we'll come back. We're going to go to a break, and let's go back, and we'll come back to that and finish
it. All right, Pastor Ernie. We do want to spend time on this. Thank you.
We will. We'll be right back.
Next.
Good morning. We'd like to apply for a marriage license.
Names?
Tim and Jim Jones.
Jones? Are you related? I see a resemblance.
Yeah, we're brothers.
Brothers? You can't get married.
Well, why not? Aren't you giving marriage licenses to same-gender couples?
Yes, thousands. But we haven't had any siblings. That's incest.
Incest? No, we're not gay.
Not gay? Then why do you want to get married?
Well, for the financial benefits, of course. And we do love each other. And besides, we don't have any other prospects.
But we're issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples who've been denied equal protection under the law. If you are not gay, you can get married to a woman.
Wait a minute. A gay man has the same right to marry a woman as I have. But just because I'm straight doesn't mean I want to marry a woman. I want to marry Jim. And Jim wants to marry me. Are you going to discriminate against us just because we're not gay?
All right. I'll give you your license. Next.
Hi, we're here to get married.
Names?
Frank Smith, Jane James, Robert Green, and June Johnson.
And who wants to marry whom?
We all want to marry each other.
But there are four of you.
That's right. You see, we're all bisexual. I love Jane and Robert. Jane loves me and Frank. Frank loves Robert and me, and Robert loves Frank and Jane. All of us getting married together is the only way that we can express our sexual preferences in a marital relationship.
But we've only been granting license to gay and lesbian couples.
So, you're discriminating against bisexuals?
No, it's just that, well, the traditional idea of marriage is that it's just for couples.
Since when did you stand on tradition?
Well, I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Who says? There's no logical reason to limit marriage to couples. The more the better. Besides, we demand our rights. The mayor says the Constitution guarantees equal protection under the law. Give us a marriage license.
All right, all right. Next.
Howdy, I'd like a marriage license.
In what names?
David Dietz.
And the other person?
Oh, that's all. I want to just marry myself.
Marry yourself? What do you mean?
Well, my psychiatrist says I have a dual personality, so I want to marry the two together. Maybe I can file a joint income tax return.
That does it. I quit. You people are making a mockery of marriage.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Boy, who would ever thought that anybody would make a mockery of marriage, huh?
Yeah.
Anyhow, I got to make a quick announcement, and we're going to bat with Jim. The Geauga County Tea Party, there are two very, very important events coming up in June. I'll tell you about one tonight, and I'll tell you about one Monday. So mark your calendars. Now, this is for Northeast Ohio, folks. These are important. I just mentioned to you this horrendous, horrendous, wicked evil, right from hell itself, bill that the Democrats are trying to push. That would just open the gates to killing babies without any restrictions. These are these people you see with their little pads. They're out there, their little boards, trying to get signatures, and they're in front of stores and that. These are wicked, wicked, very wicked people. And anyhow, this is for the unborn. We must fight them. We must fight for them. You must RSVP. Now, RSVP, I'm talking about you people in Northeast Ohio, to attend the town hall meeting so we know how many seats to have, to save. You can email us at admin, at GeaugaCountyTeaParty.com. That's all one word. Geauga, G-E-A-U-G-A, that's G-E-A-U-G-A, countyteaparty.com. Send us your name and how many seats you will need for this town hall. You contact Pro-Life Kickoff for the other meeting. Now, let me just jump over here real quick and tell you what this is all about. It's a town hall meeting. And it's the fall of Roe. Now what? Where do we go from here? Understanding the pro-death ballot initiative. This is the pro-death. This is what they're calling the ballot initiative. It's right from hell. It's right from hell. And it's being promoted by the most wicked, evil, ungodly people. And the reality of child killing. Now these sessions will educate you and equip you, your family and friends and co-workers to defend the unborn children and family values, free of charge. A free will offering will be received, and this is Monday, June 19th, Monday, June 19th, 2023, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. This is sponsored by the Geauga County Tea Party at the Westwoods Nature Center. That's the Westwoods Nature Center, 9465 Kinsman Road. That's Route 87. 9465 Route 8, Kinsman Road, Route 87. That's in Novelty, Ohio, 44072. Folks, so plan on being there. It's very important that you come out. We've got to run to this battle. You got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. It's up to us. It's up to us. God has raised us up for such a time as this. So with that, John, I'm taking it back to you.
Yeah, we'll go back to Leviticus 18, Pastor Ernie. And if you would read verses 26 and 27.
All righty. Let me get back there. I had flipped the pages. It'll take me just a minute to get back there. 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled.
Notice it says the land is defiled,
mm-hmm.
and that the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, were being driven off the land because of their sin. The Jews were coming in as God's agent of judgment to cleanse the land of them because by their acts it was defiled. Okay, and 28 and 29.
That the Lord spew not you out, also when he defile it, as he spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people.
Now notice that the Bible says that the Jews would be spewed out, just like the Canaanites were, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They did the same sins, the same abominations, and King Nebuchadnezzar came. He absolutely destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, and the ones that weren't killed were taken captive to Babylon. And verse 30 says, therefore shall you keep my ordinances, and ye commit not any of these abominable customs. There's the customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves. Therein I am the Lord your God. So it's laws and customs, and I'm going after those customs very shortly. So we go to the New Testament, and we go to Jude. We're going to go to Jude 1:7 and 2 Peter 2:6. Are you there, Pastor Ernie, or do you want me to read it?
Well, let me see. I can go. I've got 2 Peter 2:6.
All right, I'll get Jude 1:7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. Let me repeat that. Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The word fornication there, it's only used, there are several words that are translated fornication. This one is unique. It's only used once for Sodom and Gomorrah. And it means to be utterly unchaste, to prostitute one's body, to give oneself over to unlawful sexual intercourse, to be given to idolatry and worship idols. That's what that fornication means. And notice strange flesh, Pastor Ernie. And any nation that follows that will receive the same judgment as Sodom and Gomorrah. And that means not necessarily fire and brimstone, but the people are going to be off the land. They're going to be gone. God will destroy them. Would you read 2 Peter 2:6, please?
And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly.
Now, we are right now under a custom, an ordinance, and it's an ordinance of the Amorites. And what it is, a document was signed by the president Wednesday, the 31st of May, designating June as LGBTQ and whatever other month. And he signed it, and he was saying that the government is to recognize this and that all the nations should, but he's put America by an ordinance directly in the path of those judgments which God says he'll destroy a nation, Pastor. We are under this month the very type of ordinance that God will move to destroy a nation. And what's gotten really bad, Pastor Ernie, is I was reading about Israel, and they had a very, they have a large, they call it Gay Pride Day over there. They had a very large march, and they said that they learned it from America.
Yeah.
And in Uganda, they passed a law against homosexuality, and Biden has threatened to sanction Uganda. The State Department right now, as I speak, is looking to bring economic sanctions on Uganda for making a law against homosexuality. So not only do we have it in America, Pastor Ernie, but we're exporting it. We're exporting the sin. We're exporting it throughout the world.
Yeah, Biden sent Kamala Harris over to Uganda.
Yes,
with,
he did.
I think was a $90 million or something. And it was a large amount of money. And the president of Uganda says, take your bloody, filthy money and get out of our country. We're better than that. We're better than that. And so...
That's exactly what happened. But the United States, now is exporting this sin all throughout the world, Pastor.
Yep.
Here's some of the articles that have just been going on the last 2 days. Federal agencies celebrate Pride Month with Progress Pride flag. June 1st marks the first day of what society has deemed Pride Month, commemorating the 1969 Stonewall riots. It has since turned into a widespread celebration of non-heterosexual preferences and is actively embraced in business and other facets of society. The LGBT agenda has pushed particularly hard by department stores such as Target, even offering transgendered swimsuits for adults as well as an array of Pride-themed children's items. It's also embraced by President Joe Biden's federal agencies. And then the article goes on more and more. So this is the ordinance, these type of ordinances, folks, which is, it puts the United States right in the crosshairs with God. Now, if a person wants to be like a homosexual, that's between them and God. But when you make homosexuality a law, a statute, the government then becomes the target of God's judgment, because the government is supposed to have laws against things like that, according to the word of God. So once the government now, which God has ordained, Pastor Ernie, to do good, really, that's what it's ordained for, to follow God's laws and have that over a society. But when a society makes its laws, its ordinances to promote, protect, encourage, and celebrate sin, then that nation comes in under God's crosshairs of judgment. And that's exactly where we are now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And those, the people that had the most responsibility to stop that, to prevent that, were the pastors in the pulpits, and they're the ones that, they're the ones that dishonored God more than anybody else. They failed us. They failed God. They failed country. And, you know, I've been saying this for 50 years. I'll never forget. It's just as a young pastor being told by some of the elders, if you keep preaching this, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. But I want to remind people, John, about that fellow. And I preached on this just about 2 weeks ago, about Charles Finney, the great evangelist. And remember, he was the president of Oberlin College. he saw this coming back, and all the way back in 1873, when he prophetically stated the last paragraph of a sermon titled "The Decay of Conscience." And I say, I want to keep reminding that because it was the pastors that allowed this, and it's the pastors that can turn it around. They can turn it around if they find courage. If they find courage. And I want to remind you what they said. Finney said this: if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, oh, do they? The pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, boy, is it. The pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, and boy, has it, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, and boy, does he, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt, and boy, have they, that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. And he had it exactly right there. Now, John, do you know what's happening?
He certainly did, Pastor Ernie. I mean, he absolutely, yeah. Pastor Ernie, back in 1863 during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called for a day of prayer and fasting before God because of the war. And that's how godly the country, or God-fearing or God-understanding the country was. Joe Biden, he's the one that's promoting the sin. He's the one that's advancing and encouraging the ordinances of the Amorites. For him to repent of it and call, it's just not going to happen. So if the government isn't going to do it, the church has to do it, Pastor Ernie. We can't let this go. If we let this go and don't think, those scriptures are there. Whether we think God will judge us or not, they're there. And in the New Testament, it says that whatever, if a nation goes down the road of Sodom and Gomorrah, they're going to get the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So if we let it go, we're heading right smack into awful, awful, catastrophic judgment from the Lord, Pastor.
Well, you know what's been happening here just lately, just to mention the way it's going, because there are people that are shaking this rebellious fist in the face of a holy God, and they're making statements that Harris Faulkner on Fox News, she said the other day that Fox News is being forced to go woke, that Fox News is being forced. Now, I don't know what the forces are, but I know they come from the pit of hell. And then Fox News actually sponsored that what they call L.A. Pride. Those
nuns.
No, not nuns. Though those were freaks of nature.
But they support them, actually. Fox News does.
I know Fox News supports them, but those people are right from the pit of hell.
You mean the, what do they call them? The Sisters of Indulgence or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're mocking the Catholic Church.
Right, and
they actually canceled it. The Dodgers did, and then just yesterday or today they rescinded that, and they're welcoming them back into the ballpark.
Well, you know, the Dodgers are simply trying to just say, look, come on, people, we know that your entertainment means more to you. You don't have that honor and that integrity. Those are old-fashioned things. Look, you know what? We know we're all morally challenged today. We're all morally challenged. So, you know what? That kind of stuff's good enough for you. And you people, you'll still come to our games anyhow.
Yes.
Because you don't have
any morals.
Any morals or integrity. You don't have what it takes not to. Now, Wally Mart.
They don't have the fear of God, Pastor.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Wally
Mart. They fear the LGBTQ community more so than God.
Wally Mart has just come out, and with their actions, they just said they're putting a whole. They watched what happened with Target and that, so they're going to put a whole display of sodomite clothes and stuff in there. And the message to people that shop at Wally Mart is, look, you're saving money means more to you. You don't have honor. You don't have integrity. You don't have the decency to boycott us. We're too big. We don't really need your business anyhow. But you'll be back. You'll come and you'll spend your money because you'll be told by NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, you'll be told that's what you're supposed to do. And they're the ones, by way, that are indoctrinating you. They're the ones that are training you. Remember, they're telling you what to think and why you think it. So we don't fear about losing money. And besides, if we do, George Soros and others will make up the difference. And then, again, you know, and now, but you see, Target lost, I think, in a week's
27
time,
billion, is that?
It's up to 27 billion
27
now?
Billion.
No, I know that.
Anheuser-Busch has lost billions and billions.
they lost the most, Anheuser-Busch.
Their sales are down 30%, and
also
dropping every week.
Also, Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, they went completely gone. They're totally under. So, you know, you go woke, you go broke, right? And so, but so the message they keep telling the people is, don't worry, you people don't have the decency and the integrity to boycott us, but looks like some of us do, right?
Yeah,
that's the encouraging part. That there might be a segment out there that will respond, Pastor Ernie. If the preachers will preach it, I mean, if we get leadership that will preach it, the people might respond and cry out to God to heal the land from this.
Well, that's the other good news, John, because I've been contacted by I don't know how many pastors groups and that want me to join up with them. To do what we've been doing for 50 years, okay? That's the, that's the thing. It's an amazing thing. We've been doing this all the years. We've been fighting, been exposing this stuff, encouraging people to stand against it and be with the pro-life. And now you've got these groups, because now they're seeing, they're looking around and they're saying, oh, my gosh, what is happening? We've been sounding the alarm for 50 years. And now, and so, they're contacting me, and I'll give them airtime. We'll bring them on, and we'll give airtime. But, again, that is the good news, is they're starting to awaken, okay? And, again, they're realizing that it was from the pulpit. But, you know, the thing of it is a lot of people, they don't want pastors to tell them what they should be doing, to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Many, they want entertainment centers. They just want to go where they can kind of fit in, never be called on to do anything, and just be entertained and they feel good because somehow they think they please God because they went to church and they heard a sermon. Listen, do they please God until they put that sermon, what they've learned, into practical application, or is it bore fruit, real fruit? God's not pleased. I mean, it's kind of like, John, if you show up to work and you just sit at your desk and you look nice and you look important, but you don't do any work, right? Your boss is not going to be pleased with you, is he?
Right, Pastor Ernie. I mean, you got to be productive.
That's right. Be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. And so, and for you doers of the word out there listening to me tonight, tomorrow is church cleanup at the pavilion. So we're looking for all the volunteers to show up out there, the doers of the word, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Okay. There you go. You see how I crack a whip, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'm delighted to hear that pastors are reaching out to you, but it's now or never, Pastor Ernie. But we don't have a tomorrow in this. It's now or never.
I know. The opposition, they're moving very, very quickly. They can feel that.
They know it. You're absolutely right.
And so we've got a bunch of articles here. We're going to hit lightning rounds very quickly. We'll be coming to a break here in a minute. And then when we come back from the break, we're going to really hit some lightning rounds. We're going to talk about, in your state, Texas lawmakers passed bills allowing removal of rogue prosecutors who failed to enforce the law. We're talking about George Soros' horse. That's what you're talking about, these people that are bought and paid for, okay? They've got no honor, they've got no integrity. Most of them don't even take an oath of office. And
well, that's the state capitol, Pastor Ernie. Austin, the whole government in Austin is right from hell. And so you have this the capital in there, because Texas is a real good state, but it's in Austin, and then the capital surrounded by George Soros, mayor, and attorney, and the district attorney.
Now you've got that one district attorney there, in Florida. Is that Texas? Yeah, that's Texas. Your attorney general. He was the guy that did the right things. He went after the corrupt politician. It looks like the rhinos in Texas are trying to get rid of him.
Exactly right. I mean, they're railroading him, Pastor. They've done everything. They've ran everybody against him to get him out of office, and the people keep on electing them. So the rhinos, you're absolutely right. It's not the Democrats. It's the rhinos that have risen up here to remove him.
And we've got a bunch of the rhinos in Ohio. They're the ones that are trying to undercut us here on this legislation that we're trying to pass. They're stabbing us in the back, and I don't know how much they're getting paid to do this. But
they're a plague, Pastor Ernie. They're a plague on us, these rhinos.
They certainly are. And, back in the days in the Revolution, they were called traitor Tories. You remember the name Tory. But the actual real name was traitor Tories, they were referred to, and that's what we have today. We have traitor Tories out there, huh?
They're all over the place. If the Republicans were real, Trump would would have been elected, because the cheating in Georgia would have been dealt with, in Pennsylvania would have been dealt with, in Arizona would have been dealt with, Wisconsin would have been dealt with, but it wasn't. Because of the Republicans.
Well, it's an interesting thing, because some of the Republicans are saying now, that's it, they pull all stop. They're going to use the very same tactics that the Democrats did to throw the election, to steal the election. They're going to use those same tactics. But, the Democrats, they are to election fraud what Elvis was to rock and roll, okay? and you're... I mean, there's nobody knows more about...
Ernie, you remember me and John Holman telling you about Pennsylvania and what the Democrats did?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
And I think you found it like we were exaggerating a little.
A little bit at first, yeah, but you know what? We're out of time, so hang tight. We're coming to a fast break. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. We're counting down. 2-1
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Pepsi Zero Sugar has a new, better flavor. A Zero Sugar Cola has never tasted this good. But we don't expect you to take our word for it, so we're putting it to the test.
Starting with me.
Cue the fireworks. We have an official best Zero Sugar ever. It's delicious, it's refreshing, and it's so good you'll need to try it for yourself. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Zero never tasted so good. That's what I like.
Want to make waves on a free Sea-Doo this summer? Stop by the Pepsi display at your local Walmart to find out how you can win.